Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double-teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
I don't hate this.
All right. Welcome to Real Ass Podcast. Stop with the samples. The people have to stop throwing samples in. I'm talking over it. It's too much. It's not bad, though.
It could be the intro, not the post-intro. It's got samples of you talking.
It is true. Maybe. It's not right, but I like it. Put it to the side because this is good. We're going to use this and not pay this guy for something.
Yeah. It did throw you off up top.
Yeah, welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. Let's get another intro song. We're trying to figure out a new intro music, unlicensed, because we keep on getting fucked on YouTube. Right, so I apologize. It's a very unprofessional way to do it. But Shannon, that should have been the first one. Can you screen them a little bit, Shannon?
I did.
You like that one.
It was better than some of the other ones. You want one more?
Let's do one more. Go. No, turn
too long. Get right to it.
No, you need a fucking good... We need to come out the gates.
I am Iron Man.
Can't say Iron Man? Oh, now you can't say Iron Man.
It's crazy. Cypher Sounds is here. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Cypher Sounds, C-I-P-H Sounds. Anything else to plug? Let's get them out of the way real quick. Get it done.
Thank you.
Done. And then we can go.
I have nothing to plug. Just follow me at Instagram. That's where I mostly am. But thank you for doing the plugs in the beginning.
Get it out of the way.
Get it. Let's go, because this is what everybody's listening in the beginning.
Exactly.
You're a smart guy, man.
You do it at the end. First of all, 75% of the people have dropped off.
The bitter end, do them.
It's crazy. Stupid. Doesn't do anything. Get it out of the way. Get it quickly. Follow Cypher Sounds. He's just fucking awesome. Great comedian. Also, I don't know. You're a fucking famous DJ.
Yeah.
I forget that you're actually a famous DJ, because I know you as a comic, but you're very well known as a DJ as well.
More known.
Yeah, probably more known as
very
a DJ.
Much so, yeah.
Which is, it's fucking just batshit crazy.
Yeah.
It's probably one of I want to get into that, actually, because I don't understand how that world even works in the slightest bit.
He means being famous in general.
Shut the fuck up, Zach. God damn it. Don't attack me right before we even go.
Zach attack. What's success like?
Pew, pew.
International superstar Zach D'Amico is here. What do you got to plug, brother?
Instagram, Zach is not funny. Zach D'Amico's Midnight Spook Show. Fridays at midnight here on Gas, and Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Catalyst Wrestling.
Soon enough changing, though. Catalyst Wrestling is going to Friday nights, right?
Most likely, yeah.
As the lead-in to Zach D'Amico's Midnight Spook Show, it's Zach Fridays. Holy shit. What a day. Real Ass Podcast in the morning, two Zach D'Amico projects in the evening. What are you, the next Louis J. Gomez? Get the fuck out of here. You know what's up, man. Make sure you follow me on all the other platforms, Instagram, Twitter, all that shit. But I got my brand new Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake. I'm affiliated. If you guys want to watch me play video games poorly, I'm doing it a lot. I'm doing it a lot right now. So make sure you guys do that. I played with fans this morning. So if you guys want to fucking play with me as well, I've been doing that lately. Make sure you guys go to our iTunes or Google Play or wherever you fucking download podcasts. You leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. One reviewer every month, we give it a free piece of merch, to good or bad. You can say you fucking hate us. You can say you want us to die. If we pick your fucking name, you still got to get that hat. You can burn the hat.
Yeah, burn it on camera.
Fuck it. Say fuck this show, okay? What else? Anything else? Yeah, Gas Digital. Subscribe at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Get access to the entire on-demand library. Real Ass Podcast, Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me, Zach Nichols Midnight Spook Show, The Catalyst Wrestling Show, Shannon's The Thing Is, Ding. Hey. Come on. Come on, doggy. You get it all. Why not? For $8 a month, you get thousands of hours of content. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial. Make sure you use that promo code RAP.
I don't have $10 a month.
Yeah. It's $8.
Oh, I got $8.
You got $8. That's it.
I got $8.
$10's too much.
It's too much.
Too much. How much is Netflix now?
I got $8 on me.
Netflix is. You have cash? I have a $20 bill in my pocket that's been
there. No, he has an 8-inch desk. That's how he tells people. I got 8 on it.
I got 8 on it.
Look, we have an incredible show planned today. I appreciate all the stories, Dylan. Dylan, I will say right now, I got to give shout out to fucking Dildo because I told him, this is my new thing. I show up exactly on time. And he was going to go park the car. And I said, dude, I need you to be there right away because I need to jump right into the studio. We're already starting 15 minutes late. And Dildo didn't realize that we were pulling into the spot, and Dildo didn't realize that it was me. So he started arguing with the person because it was right in front. He was going to try to fucking argue with this person that his boss is coming and it was going to be his spot. If I was that guy,
yeah,
that this guy was trying to say he's with his body saving a spot for somebody else, I would have run you over. I would have run you over, and then I would have beat you up, and I would have taken your fucking wallet.
Because New York is back to the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So no cops are coming.
Nobody's coming for you.
They're not going to protect you. That was very ballsy of you, Dylan.
Where's Dylan from?
I got a job to do. I mean, when I saw it was you, it was such a relief.
I know. You were so nervous that it was going to be a fight because it was the perfect spot. It was just the door led right into the door of the studio. So I will say thank you very much, Dildo. You are
anytime.
You're doing a good job. Every single day you save yourself a little bit more.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about some of these things. Yeah, there's a lot. Dylan, you always give these you give very sad stories. Like I'm not into all these it's like, duh, there was a black baby murdered by a fucking crowd of white people. Like, I don't want to talk about that. That's horrible. Stop it.
Well, they were all trying to take selfies with it in the trailer.
Jesus. Let's see. All right, let's talk about some of these things.
Let's talk about Dre's wife. That's not sad.
Shut the fuck up, Dylan. Let me lead the show. Relax.
Well, who is this guy?
He's one of the producers, and he's very uppity. He loves being on mic. He wants to be famous.
right.
This is the problem with him.
Wait, is he a producer or is he an intern?
No, he's a producer.
Okay.
He's paid. He's actually paid to be here.
Okay.
And then he called
Dylan.
And he called a meeting yesterday to complain about how he doesn't make as much money as he wants to make. And he's so bad at asking for more money.
Right.
He already did this. I won't say who, but he threw another producer under the bus. This is the real thing that happened yesterday, okay?
And you've worked
in the business, Hot 97. You worked in the real industry before. Yeah. You know what the fuck's up.
Many years.
So he comes in and he throws another producer under the bus. He's like, hey, this producer makes this much money.
Yeah.
I make this much money. I think that's kind of unfair. We sort of started around the same time. He doesn't really have much seniority. So then, hold on. Yeah. So then I said,
yeah, but Frank keeps his mouth shut.
So this is this is maybe 3 weeks ago he says this to me.
Yeah.
And I tell him at the time, I was like, hey, dude, that's not really the way you should ask. I was like, you shouldn't be bringing up what other people make. You should simply say,
yeah,
this is what I'm worth. I want to make this much money, this, that, the other, whatever. And he goes, dude, cool. So then he asked for a meeting with me and Ralph. And I was like, all right, this is his big shot.
Yeah.
He took in my information and he computed it. And now he's going to come out and he's going to lay out the things that he's been doing lately in order to show why he deserves more money. Mm-hmm. First thing he says, hey, dude, I don't know why this guy makes more money than
me, but
yes, it most certainly fucking
is. I
had to give you the same fucking Braveheart speech again about not doing it.
He kind of did.
I don't know Luis Gomez to be a liar. Is he calling you a liar?
Well, I am a liar.
Wait.
That's true. I don't know him to be a liar. I don't know him to be a liar.
I think you haven't known him for long enough.
Dylan, you need to fucking...
I said I don't want to worry about what other people are making. I feel like I'm worth more.
But then you completely brought up how much this guy makes.
I did not bring it up. No, I never said the number because you even said to yourself, like, I don't know the number.
I don't know the number. I have no idea how much my employees make.
This is the problem.
That's the fucking problem.
This is the problem with white people. I'm going to
say it.
This is the problem with white people.
Please.
Everything wrong with what he's doing is because he's white. And I don't even... Is he white?
That's
I don't even know.
Nigga.
He might be Cuban or something.
No, he's white. No, he's pretty fucking white.
His name is Dylan.
Yeah. That's a pretty fucking white name. Dylan, I'm just saying that's not the way that you go about progressing. And also, And I also made it very clear. I was like, Dylan, I don't know. You probably should have just negotiated more. I'm assuming if two people start around the same time and they are doing the same job and working comparable hours.
I'm doing more.
You're working more. You're an idiot.
I went home last night and I was like, I should have just shot for the fence.
You should have.
I really should have. I was pissed about that.
Didn't your involved dad teach you better than this?
What do you mean? What?
Yeah, you are acting like a Puerto Rican. That's how a Puerto Rican acts when he goes into his job. He's like, yo, this guy makes more. Why? Why? What are you doing? Just act like a fucking white person. You should have come in with fucking detailed information as to why you deserve to make more money. Not than anybody else, but more money for you.
Yeah.
Shannon's very smart. I give these speeches to the employees all the time about how they, you know, if they want to make more money, they want to do more things, all they got to do is say, Shannon's really great because Shannon never complains. And then when I say, Shannon, why aren't you complaining? Why aren't you asking for more money? She's like, I know if you had it, you'd give it to me. She says that, and I'm like, you're an idiot, Shannon. You need to fucking... They're the dumbest fucking people I've ever met in my entire life.
That's better than what I did.
The negotiating skills on my production team. I swear to God, I try to pay them more money. I'm not even lying about this. I try to. And we have these conversations, and I'm like, okay, I can't, with good conscience, I can't walk away and reward them for idiotic behavior.
Yeah. This is nasty.
I'm sorry. I got to pull the curtain aside sometimes. All right. So regardless, there was an earthquake last night in New Jersey, apparently.
Really?
And I woke up this morning, and my new thing that I've stuck into my bathroom was on the floor of the shower. You know, the thing you stick all your fucking shampoos in.
Like an organizer.
Like a shower caddy.
Yes. Shower caddy. Okay, there we go. Somebody's fucked some white chicks.
Yeah. I want to.
Hell yeah, dude. A shower caddy. That's another sign that you're doing good things. Like I went to for the first time ever, I went to Bed Bath & Beyond yesterday.
And bought a shower caddy.
Bought some mirrors.
Wow.
Who fucking buys mirrors? Mirrors just happen to appear in your life at one point. Yeah. You're like, that's now my mirror.
Right. How do you even buy a mirror? Is it framed? Is the mirror, like, does it have a frame around it?
Yeah, it's a framed mirror. I got two for my garage.
I
built the gym into my garage. It's pretty fucking incredible.
Oh, wow. So let's say you could watch yourself work out.
You have to watch yourself work out, Zach. I'm supposed to fucking get motivated.
Is it form?
That's right. That's what I meant. Form. I don't want to get sexually attracted to myself as I work out. You have to stare deeply into your fucking face and at your body. You guys should see me working out when no one's around. It's obnoxious. No shirt, just screaming, smoking weed. I have no shoes, no shirt. I work out like a savage. I'm just getting stoned.
You look like a Somalian pirate. Yeah.
Why is this not a show on your network?
Just me working out with no shirt on.
It seems like you do all crazy type of shows. Just
that is a good idea for a
camera
show.
In there and just be like, ah!
Well, you guys can follow my progress on my YouTube channel because I do have my web series, Luis J. Gomez Fight Journal, which is documenting my fight.
How many things do you have?
I have a lot of things.
Jesus Christ.
Look, when they cancel me from being a comedian, I'll just be an MMA fighter.
I was like, during the pandemic, I looked at Target. I was like, I wonder if I could get a part-time in there. Like a part-time, like just, you know, extra, like toll and gas money. You know,
yeah, cash.
Yeah. I literally was like, maybe I'll just work in here. Like, it'd be so much less stress.
It would be so much less stress. I talked about that recently on the show. I was like, I have this weird fantasy to go sell cars just somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm not in the city. Like, just grow my mustache out, let my hair grow in on the sides. Just be a but be the best.
Yeah. We would murder it though, right? Because the thing is, the reason why I even do anything good in comedy is because I'm using my hip hop hustle skills. Hmm. I'm not that good of a comedian.
Oh yeah.
I just know how to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stay in.
Yeah.
I can't take that skill to something else.
It's interesting what you said. So you can take that skill to something else. What you're talking about is being a salesman, right? And I am a salesman deep down. When you just said that, I'm a better salesman than I am comedian, right?
Yes.
I'm a better comedian than most of the horseshit comedians, but my standard, I'm sure you feel the same way, I have a really high standard. The guys that I look up to and the guys that I work with are the best in the fucking world.
I hang out with the best.
The best. The best.
The best.
So it's a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing because I get to learn and I get to try to get myself up to that level.
Correct.
But then it's a curse because when you watch me next to Dave Attell or fucking Big J or Kurt Metzger, you just see how skilled those guys are. And maybe I personally feel like I pale in comparison. I know if fans are like, dude, you're fucking great. But that's
100%.
This goes in fucking anybody who's a good artist, this is what's going on in their head.
Yeah.
They're doubting themselves regularly, they're questioning themselves, they're looking at the people that they look up to and they're saying, God damn it, I'll never be that good. Dave Attell feels that way about people like Doug Stanhope.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You talk to Dave Attell after a set, it'll never stop.
Yeah.
Dave Attell after a set is going, I suck, I'm a hack. I've heard him say it.
Me too, yeah.
I've heard him, he's called me before to be like, hey, I do this joke, does this suck? Like, I think it's like really shitty. Do other people do it? And you're like, Dave, you're a fucking genius. Nobody does that. Yeah. What are you talking about? It's like you're talking to a Jedi master of comedy.
Yeah.
And that sort of will never go away. So for me, when I hear Dave Attell say something like that, how could I go, yo, I'm the shit.
Right.
I'm fucking, like, it's crazy to me. And that's just sort of the way that I've been trained to think my mind. But I'm a great salesman.
Yes.
And that what you will learn is that a great salesman can really sell any product.
Yes.
I have a good product. Maybe it's not the best product. Maybe it's not the Dave Attell product. But I have a good product already, and I believe in it, and I love it, right? And I think that's probably the same thing for you, where you believe in what you do. You 100%. Love what you do. So you can go and sell it with a passion.
Yeah.
I can sell fucking, if I wanted to go to a parking lot right now, I could sell my hip-hop CD and spin it on my finger.
Yeah.
I can go get a job selling cars. I can go get a job selling gym memberships. I've sold literal just pieces of shit. Like I've worked for scam sales companies where I call people up and they weren't buying anything. They were buying, it was a patient, like a dentist patient introduction program. And I called these dentists around the country that are like struggling and they want new patients.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have 50 patients in your area waiting to go, and you get access to these contacts.
Yeah.
It's a list. And I would, and it's a bullshit. It's literally just bullshit. $600 later, I get a $300 commission. Boom. But I was really good because I could understand the psychology behind sales. It's a game of numbers. Embrace rejection. Just keep on moving forward. That side of it that was built into me, and as a comedian where it's all rejection, you sort of learn how to embrace it.
Right.
How did you jump from being a DJ to a comedian? And talk to me a little bit about that, because I don't, like I said, I don't know anything about your life as a DJ. And then I see you on Billboard sometimes, and I'm like, what's going on here right now?
Yeah. Okay, so it's funny you say that, because I don't think of myself as a good salesman per se, but you just made me look at it in a different way, because it is what I'm doing. So I was on Hot 97. I'm very famous in New York, Zach. I don't know if you know me.
Zach is racist, knows you just from the groups online.
I also don't mind talking to racists.
He's not really racist.
But I don't, like, why? Nobody's talking.
We've been getting along. It's fine.
It's good.
Nobody's talking. Talk to a racist.
Yeah, I agree.
Have a one-on-one with the guy.
And you might change your mind a little bit.
Somewhat.
Yeah, or at the very least, here's the thing, it's like it's thought control, right? So it's like, I don't really care if this guy's racist. I would rather know it so that I know who I'm playing ball with.
And do I want to hang out with him and 10 of his buddies in a basement? No, but we can have a conversation
without
screaming at each other. So I was on Hot 97, and I used to always get this compliment or whatever, this feedback of, you're funny on the radio. You're funny, you're funny. My hustle brain was like, they keep saying I'm funny. What can I do in comedy to make some money? So they're like, oh, you should get a night at a club, produce a show. Okay. So I get the club. I get the people to go there. I pay the comedians shit money. But actually, I paid really well. But
compared
still.
To what? By the way, we have a similar story. I produced before I ever did comedy.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
And yeah, same thing. And like, I gave them good money for what comedians get. But I still was making the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I would leave with thousands of dollars.
Well, you do a show on a Sunday night. Comics at that time were getting paid 20. Now they're getting 25. It didn't get much better, right?
Not at all.
They were getting 20. If I paid 30, they were like, yo, Lewis.
I paid $100 on a Tuesday.
You were a god amongst men then.
The comedians were lined up.
Of course, like, begging for it.
I never put a comedian's name on the bill because this is before I knew how to do comedy.
Yeah.
A lot of times they would cancel, so it would piss me off. So I go, I'm not putting your name up because I don't know if you're going to show up. I would just make sure I had enough comedians.
And you had it was your draw. It was your production. So
my shit would look like a nightclub. It was hot girls, rappers. Rick Ross and Drake would be at my show.
That's funny.
Fucking John Stockton. Like,
and you were always promoting it through Hot 97.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
See, I was a little different. I was a little more DIY. I started running the street teams. You remember in Times Square, the guys that were like, hey, you like comedy clubs?
Yes.
2001, I was one of the first guys ever doing that.
Right.
I stole the idea from these guys who just weren't, they were good at it.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute. I can go to Al Martin, the New York Comedy Club, right now, and he will just let me sell his tickets as well.
Right.
Not only that, he'll give me a kickback from the bar. Let's get real. I was making money off the people coming in. Not only the tickets were I making, I was making a kickback from the bar. When I was working up at Stand Up New York, I was producing six shows a week, selling out all of them. But it was all off of street teams. And once again, it was inconsequential. The artists didn't matter who they were so much. You would sell the credits. You would sell this night out. You go up to these tourists. Yeah. You go up to these college kids, and you say, "Hey, four tickets for $20. It's $5 a pop. Yeah. You know, two drink minimum." It was a little. It was just a different angle. Like you were promoting it to an audience. I was just hustling, and I had 25 guys that worked for me that were just hitting the streets regularly. But it all came down to I started producing these shows. And paying
25
more than
25 guys.
Yeah, I had 25, Jeez. Maybe 30 at one point. I had a big street team. I was making a lot of money when I was like 22, 23 years old before I ever even thought about getting on stage.
Right.
But it was a similar – so at that point, I hadn't gotten on stage yet. I was just producing these shows, and I loved it. I was sort of in this world.
Yeah.
This is where I met guys like Big J and Metzger and, you know, Nate Bargatze and, you know, fucking, you know, I mean, all these guys. But it was like – it was just the killers. It was like Gaffigan, Todd Barry, but it was like guys people even heard of, like Mike Britt, Mike Yard. Just they would level. Like I would put five guys on that were just all absolute murderers, and it was just a great time. But I digress. Continue with your
no same. So like I was lucky. I had the radio and I had a following and I had a fan base, and I said, "Hey, before you go out tonight, come by this show," and it was popping. It was at Comics. Remember Comics, 14th and 9th?
Of course. Comics was dope.
So anyway, what I'm saying was I just found a way to make money in something where I was getting some feedback. You're funny. I would do like stupid prank calls on the radio, hang
Did
up on people.
Did you start hosting those shows as an MC?
Eventually.
Or so, in the beginning, it was just your night?
It was just my night. I would eventually, the first two, I went up, said hello to all my fans, and then I just had a host.
Were you DJing too, or no? You just showed up.
I had a different DJ.
Wow. Fucking said, wow. Yeah. Wow.
But like, I would get like one quick laugh, and then like, I was like, I can host this show.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Why am I paying the host now?
Yeah, I can host this show.
And then, did you secretly sort of want, you already had the bug, you were sort of going,
no.
Like, not at all.
No, not at all.
Because I wanted to, there was maybe 6 months before I did it, because I was producing the show, same thing. There was maybe 6 months where I was like, oh, I want to do it.
I mean,
that was always funny. I was always a funny kid in high school.
Eventually, it came, like, once you do it a couple times, but I already had stage presence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of comics, when they first start out, they don't even know how to touch a microphone. So that takes them like 2-3 years to just get comfortable on stage.
And the you were doing like massive crowds. You were DJing. Who were you DJing for at that time?
That time I had them on the radio. But I mean, I've DJed for Lil Kim. I DJed for Jay-Z, for Mos Def. Like, I traveled the world.
You've been doing massive shows.
But even on my own, like, Summer Jam is giant stadium. That's 60,000. Like, we would talk. Like, it's nothing. That's
so
what we
220
do.
People in a club in New York, you're like, this is, you know, nothing.
Yeah. And then I had, you know, I had stage presence. And then once I got a laugh, I was like, okay, let me do this a little
and
more.
Nothing felt as good as that. Because I was a musician as well. You could play music all day long. There's nothing as personal and as reactionary. You say something, they laugh. You go, oh, you feel it.
Instantly,
that gratification. This is why comedians are salespeople, because that gratification sort of gets you going. You're like, oh, I need another. Yeah. I need another one. Another one.
Like, I met this girl recently. She makes brochures for real estate buildings, like for people to move into buildings. And I go, I said, your brochure, they look really dope, right? Your brochure probably got people to move into that building, or at least have the introduction.
Mm.
But you never fucking know that. She never knows if her brochure got someone to go in the building and get an apartment.
Right.
I know my worth every joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You feel it, boom, 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 or not feel it.
Yeah.
And
that feeling, that wave, what it is, if you got, there's no way to know it. It's a weird thing that comedians experience, but it's like, it's like you win the football game every time you get a laugh.
Yeah.
It's the scoring the big touchdown. Like, fucking time.
Every
it's
time.
Not, and it's very addictive, and you walk away from this. Why comedians can get so depressed. You walk away from it, and that serotonin drip or whatever it is, that psychological dump where you're like, wow, you walk away, and you're like, I don't have that in life. Even if you're auditioning for movies, even if you're getting parts, that it's a slow burn in a lot of other areas, but with comedy, it's an immediate effect.
I don't understand how you're a comic and then go to do movies and don't continue to do comedy. I don't think you ever really loved it then, because that feeling is like nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
Even like, let's say I'm hosting two shows. The first show I kill, and everyone's, oh my God, you were so funny. You were my favorite one. You were so funny. You were this, you were that. And then they leave, and the new audience comes in, and you're back to nothing.
Yeah.
In a matter of a half hour.
Just like that.
And I'm like, you got to prove yourself again. Do it again.
Yeah. And then if you bomb, then it'll ruin your night.
Oh, the whole night. Yeah. That's why it doesn't matter. Second show?
By the way, not even that. If you kill the first show and just do okay on the second show.
This joke killed an hour ago. Dude.
Like you walk away from it and it's very silly. I've made this point before, but if space aliens could come to Earth and see comedians and look at what we do and probe us, they'd go, yeah, what the fuck is this? This is this is evil.
So weird.
It's not right. Yeah. Like, what is it? There's no real purpose. It's very intangible. And I think the only people who really give a fuck that much about it are comedians.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's something about, you know, if you think about the psychology behind that, when you hear about comedians sort of being depressed off stage, I think there's something to that. It's just these highs are so extreme that even when you get off stage and even when things are going really well, you just don't feel that. It's like ecstasy.
I never did drugs, but I'm sure you're right.
You've never done drugs ever?
No.
Wow.
Also, you have to say space aliens, right? Because then
illegal aliens. If Mexicans came here and saw what we did, they would be like, no.
Zach will get upset. Listen, like,
I have seen Lewis perform for aliens. And his act changes real quick.
They love me. I pander them. I'll pander the hell out of a fucking brown audience.
What's wrong with pandering?
Exactly. It's what we do. Comedians pander. We're chucking and jiving for laughs. What do you think's going on right now?
And also when someone's like, oh, that joke is hack. Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
It came out of my mind.
Oh, that's hack.
That's what you thought Dave Attell was calling you for, by the way. Lewis, this joke sucks. Do you also do this?
This must be a you joke, right? So you made this transition.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you made this transition.
So I'll tell you what happened. I'm hosting the show. And then a lot of comics gave me shit. I didn't realize it because I didn't know this, but apparently around the country, a lot of radio DJs do comedy shows and they basically just steal jokes.
Yeah.
So a comedian comes in town, next week they're doing their joke. So I was getting a lot of that flack and I didn't know why, but also I was paying well, so like people love doing my show.
So they didn't want to talk shit to you. So, so my problem is I stunk at comedy, but nobody would really tell me that I stunk because they wanted to do my show.
Your show was so good.
So I didn't get like the feedback like other comics. Like you would go in and, you know, you do open mics and everyone sort of stinks and you go from stinking figuring it out, right? I didn't really ever have to do those open mics.
Yeah, me too.
So I jumped in stinking with the confidence of like, yo, this is Mike. I could do whatever I want.
Yes.
And I mean, reality hits you hard at one point once you start really working and you start working with comics who don't need your shit.
Right.
And then you find out how much you stink. Yeah. And at that point, you got to make a choice. A lot of comics who go down that path end up just sort of being fucking road hacks or whatever else it is. But if you love it, you sort of, you make that shift, you make that adjustment. So people are giving you shit, saying like,
"I can't wait to be a road hack. Can't wait.
It's coming.
I can't wait." Remember Talent? Remember the comedian Talent? He was on the radio station across the hall from me. He was on Kiss FM. So I would tell him, "Oh, last night's show was dope. I did this, I did that." And he goes, "Look, man, it's been a year." He's like, "I got to talk to you."
Oh no.
He goes. You're not real. Those are your fans from something else.
Yeah.
They know you. You talk on the radio every day. They know you so. He's like, it doesn't count. It's not counting. He's like, you got to go do shows where people don't know you. So I was like, I'll go anywhere. I'll go to whatever club. I don't give a shit. I'm funny. So I start going to other spots. Woo. Dive bombing, like
eating
a
dick.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And then I remember one show was so bad, I didn't host my show that month. Like, I bombed so bad I didn't even host my own show. I just let someone else host it. I was like, oh, I'm a sham. This sucks.
Yeah.
And that's where I started.
It turns out Talent's real name was Integrity.
I give you a Zackle Snake on that. He's on the board, everyone.
I want one of those.
What, a soundboard? Or it's a Gestell snake. Like if you get a nice little zinger,
I'll wait for the zinger.
It's got a little honestly, just go for a bad joke.
Yeah.
We even giggle a little. Thank
you. Bar's pretty low.
Thank you.
It's pretty good.
Thank you. Then I started taking it seriously and just going all around town doing as much as I could. I started in the urban scene. Mm. That's where the black people are, Zach.
I'm aware.
Okay. And then in 2015, I had a very bad fallout with Hot 97, and I could have stayed, and I said, you know what? I'm going to jump ship and take this shit seriously.
Right.
So I left and did it. I was doing it pretty much full time, but now this was like...
So that was it.
This is it. Full then, time.
So you're, are you not, you still DJ here and there. You do stuff still with music.
Yeah, but not much.
Not much.
I'll only do
specialty like
clubs that I really will have a good time. I don't like the club scene anymore like I used to.
Right.
It changed a lot. I'll do, but I also do a lot of DJing with comedy. Like I bring my turntables on stage while I'm doing stand up and have like these jokes that go with music.
Oh, that's funny.
So like, you know, like a comedian that plays guitar or keyboard.
Right.
Mine is turntables.
Got it.
Yeah. So I'm working out some new shit like
that's
that.
That's cool. That's yeah. awesome, man. Yeah, I saw you. Was the Impractical Jokers cruise?
Yeah.
You ended up DJing.
Yeah.
We performed in that together. It was fucking awesome. I mean, so great. Much fun. Like
those guys are great.
It's sort of a weird like. I was never involved with the club scene, but especially when you do like sort of the old school hip hop and shit like that with the turntables, it's such a fun vibe.
Yeah.
It really is like, I can never go to like a, you see like just videos where it's like 10,000 people on like a rave floor and there's just a DJ just fucking like going, that's the gayest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. But the way that you did it, or the way that I've seen like Michael Bisping, who I do a podcast with on the network, he was, before he was a fighter, he was a turntable DJ with like house music, but like watching him like fucking actually get into the rhythm, which becomes performance as well.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting. It really, it's actually way harder than you think. I've tried to fuck around with turntables before. It is such a difficult thing to sort of master.
I learned how to DJ because I figured it's a technical thing and I could learn it, but then your art has to come into it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just a record, you're just a song player.
Yeah. And then
but I was funny when I used to DJ clubs too. I used to crack jokes. So then I started doing all comedy and I was like, why don't I bring my music into this? That's what I'm known for. And I started finding a way to mix it. I tour with Chappelle, I tour with Michael Che.
Yeah.
I'll DJ, and they like it because I'm like, the crowd is warmed up.
Of course.
But
it's different.
You know how some people warm up a crowd with a different thing and then they're not comedy warmed up?
Yeah.
They're also comedy warmed up when I do it.
It's also, I mean, look, with somebody like Chappelle or Che, it's like, that's such a, what he's talking about, for those of you guys that don't work in comedy or really understand, a lot of times it'll be like this. You'll get a clean comic who the opener will be dirty, and then the crowd gets into a mindset of like, oh shit, this is what I want to hear. And then the clean comic has a hard time. Or so, let's say the host does a ton of crowd work. You'll hear a lot of like old vets go, do jokes.
Yeah.
Don't do just crowd work up there because they got to be in a mind state for hearing jokes.
Jokes.
You know, and if you're just going like, hey, where are you from? Blah, 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 blah.
Then by the time the next person comes up, they go, oh, it's my turn.
Yes, exactly. And they're expecting to be a part of the show.
Yeah.
And it's also addictive to sort of like, it is really fun when somebody's great at crowd work and watching the comedian sort of fuck with the crowd. You go, oh, this is fucking great. And then to make that switch, sometimes it doesn't hit that same sort of energy.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's essentially what you're talking about. But with Chappelle or Che, that crowd, I think it would almost be boring to just go up and do jokes before a Chappelle show. You almost feel like, it's like, where's Erykah Badu? I heard about these things. What's going on? Why is De La Soul not performing for an hour before Chappelle now? So I think you almost need a bigger...
But I 100% have jokes in my DJing warm-up thing.
Right.
Like, it almost could seem like crowd work. But there are jokes in there, like, to get ready for hearing jokes. Again, like, I think I've not mastered it, but I'm finding this weird, like no one else could do this.
Yeah. It's very, I've never heard of anybody doing a DJ thing within the act. The only thing I heard was, what's his name, who ended up doing the late night, and it wasn't.
Reggie Watts?
Reggie Watts does, it's unique, I should say. It's just a different thing completely.
He does, like, loops. He's like looping.
Oh, he does not like Reggie Watts.
I don't know him. I never met him, but I feel like on this network, I should say I'm going to punch him in the face.
Fuck you, Reggie Watts, you fucking hack, bitch. We're coming for you, motherfucker.
Oh, dude, at that one Skankfest, who did he go in between, like, Artie and Gaffigan?
Yeah.
And it was, everyone was just like, what?
Which is weird. To even have Gaffigan at Skankfest, but so Gaffigan weird. Murdered. Gaffigan said shit, I think, during a set. Everyone was like, whoa.
He said butt fucking.
Dude, Gaffigan, he said butt fucking?
I think he said butt fucking. And it was like a grenade went off.
Dude, he was doing jokes about how his wife had brain cancer, like really dark, like un-Gaffigan like material. Yeah. It was fucking so fun. You were supposed to do Skankfest this past year.
Because you don't like me.
You?
Yeah, because we're very similar.
What are you talking about?
My name's Luis Diaz. Your name is Luis Gomez.
I had no idea that your name was Luis Diaz, and I don't know where you get the thought that I didn't like you. That's psychotic.
Because I have made you my personal imaginary enemy.
What?
I'm kidding.
Would you think I don't like you? What are you talking about?
I'm kidding.
I've tried to get you at Skankfest for 3 years in a row.
Fucking every year got fucked up, and then I finally could do it this year, and then the world ended.
And then the world ended. The world doesn't like you. That's the problem.
The world doesn't like Luis Diaz, man.
Michael Che said the same thing to me like a year ago. He was just drunk in an honest moment. He was like, "Yo, man, do you not like me?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? No. I think you're awesome."
I'm kidding.
I think Che.
Michael Che was 100% serious.
Che was definitely serious. He was hammered, and I was like, "Che, you're like." Literally one of the only famous people that will still come and do Legion of Skanks. I have so much respect for the guys that have something to lose that will still say, fuck it, we'll come out and do these shows.
Yeah.
Because they know it's important what we're doing. Because they know having dirty and fucked up comedy and saying jokes like that helps out everybody in comedy. It enables everybody to stretch their legs a little bit more and to try to take those chances. That's where great comedy comes from, is taking chances. So, but yeah, you were supposed to do Skankfest this past year. I'm hoping that you can do it in Houston.
Yeah.
It's going to be March 27th or 29th. Right, Shannon?
As of right now, 100% open, because the world has gone to shit. Yeah. I mean, I might have a show on a sidewalk that day. So
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Do we think that society will be back by March?
No, yeah. I personally, November.
Me too.
After the election.
Is that the same thing?
Why is it such
a conspiracy theory?
If it's not society, the South, the Midwest, and Florida will be open.
All the places that are fun to perform will be open. All the blue collar fucking secret Republican towns.
The places that like
which
us.
Are so much fun to perform in.
I do great in the fucking like Trump rooms.
Yeah.
I do great. I have no problem. They love me.
They're blue collar. They don't really give a fuck. The problem is identity politics exists way more on the left, and it does exist with the right as well. Don't get me wrong. It does. It's almost like if you fuck their daughter or sister, they'd have a problem with you. But if you're just making them laugh, they're like, I love this guy. But you can't necessarily demonize people for being ignorant. What are we doing? Like, if I was going to demonize every person for being ignorant, you would demonize 95% of the population. Everyone has ignorant thoughts, and to go inside of people's heads. Let me tell you something. If you go to my Puerto Rican family and hear the way that they talk about white people or Dominicans, I'll tell you right now, you'd be like, oh shit, that's pretty fucked up. They're racist. It's just sort of not demonized the same way that the Republican, alt-right, Trump supporter is. You're like, yeah, these are some fucking old-timey assholes. You know, what do you want to say? Like, they're fucking...
You're not going to change their mind.
Yeah, and they're not even wrong about Puerto Ricans. We're savages. I mean, you shouldn't let me on your property. Do you know what I'm going to do? I have to fight my instinct. Let me tell you something. If I went over your home right now, okay, and I'm not rich by any means, but I'm doing okay at this point.
You got mirrors.
Right?
You bought mirrors.
I bought a couple mirrors. Okay, went to the store, got a couple mirrors. Okay, but if I went to your home and you had a stack of money, sitting on a table, and you left me with that stack of money, I would have to fight my instinct to take some of that money.
Not all of it.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, if I took 200, there's no way he counted all of them. And even so, he'd have to question himself.
Yes.
Whether, was I wrong when I counted?
Was I wrong? And you probably would never call me out on it. You know, it would be a weird thing. Like, why would I take $200 out of 2,000? Like,
but I
wouldn't do it.
But
I'm telling you that I would have the instinct inside of me that I have to fucking like,
but you've never
idle hands, fight my hand away from it.
I've been in a mall parking lot and seen an unlocked car.
Yes.
And it's like, as a kid, I would just go in and see what was in the
car. Take the money, take the change.
Change.
Oh, I'm just looking for some change. I remember one time a woman caught me digging through change through her car when I was like 11, 12. This is what we used to do all the time.
You used to pull every door handle.
Yep. You go over and you just look for the change. I'm not trying to steal your car. I'm not trying to steal your car radio.
No.
I'm just saying if you got some change in that console, I'm crushing that change. And this woman caught us. Me and my buddy Mike were fucking rifling through this woman's car. And I was just like, I was like, she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I thought this was my mom's car. I'm sorry. And she just like walked away. But we used to do that regularly. That was how we would make money.
Yeah.
And you're right. If I saw, I mean.
Or like if the trunk was open and there was some shit that you'd look. I wouldn't take it now because I don't want to risk it.
No, but I don't want to get caught. It's not even about morality. It's like, I don't want to fucking end up on Reddit being like, yo, Lewis 100%. Robbed an old lady.
But I've seen, I've been in a situation, I'm like, oh, my old, like, I could get that.
Lewis got arrested for 45 cents and half a bag of peanut M&Ms.
Well, like iPads left, like in a Starbucks when someone goes to the bathroom. Like, I'm like, I could, that.
The only reason I'm taking is because I don't know how the technology works, but I'm assuming they can track it.
They
to
can track it, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, yeah, leave it alone.
That's what I think.
But if you like, if I find a wallet, I'm to this day, I'm taking all the money out of the wallet. I'm not returning the cash in your wallet. If you leave your wallet and there's an ID, I'm not going to take a credit card.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I mean, not even that far back in the day, I would go buy a MetroCard with the credit card, but they changed it now. You have to use a zip code.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you find a wallet on the ground, you get yourself a monthly MetroCard, you fucking return it, you mail it in or whatever, you take all the cash out of it. But
I heard that also they can turn off those MetroCards when someone makes a complaint.
Ooh, yeah. I had no idea.
But you take the cash, though.
Of course. 100%. 100%.
You found it with no cash in it.
The way that I think of it is this. They're lucky that I found it and didn't take their credit card and ID, and I gave them back their nice wallet.
Exactly. And it's like there was a fee for me to get your wallet back to me. It was whatever was in the wallet cash-wise.
Doggy, I was at Bed Bath & Beyond buying new curtain rods. And my chick is ghetto. My chick is ghetto as shit. I mean, she's not really. She's like a very sweet, like pretty, like, you know. But she's
both.
She's half black, so she's got it in her. She's got the bug. And she's fucking dude, she's like, we're looking at the curtain rods. I was like, that's just so expensive. She's like, you could just switch the label. And I was like, I can't switch the label. This is yesterday. And I was like, what am I? This is for $4. To save $4. I'm like, what am I doing? But that's my instinct. I can still be pushed over the edge very easily to just go.
I'm not switching the label for morality reasons. I just don't want to be embarrassed at the register.
It will be very embarrassing.
There's a certain age where it's too embarrassing to get caught for petty crimes.
Also, like, especially in New York, like, I don't know if you know this, I'm very famous in New York, Zach. So, like, most likely the girl at the register is going to know me, and then she's going to be like, this is not the right tag.
Dude.
I just don't want to deal with it.
That's a fear of mine. What's funny is, like, I guess Kim went on Guys We Fucked. And told the story. So I've never told the story before, but ever tell about how, like, the crazy fight we got in at the UFC event?
Yeah.
I talked about it. I have talked about it. Okay.
No, I don't know if you talked about it on air, but.
Oh, dude, we got into, and I work in the world, like, I work with a former UFC champion. Like, I'm known in that world. When I go to an event, like a live event, I get stopped a lot by fans of the podcast. And me and Kim got into a fucking, a crazy fight. Like, I'm talking about, like, I had to get cops. I was like, dude, she won't leave me alone. It was wild to the point where, like, she ended up fucking some guy spit in her face. And I was like, good. It was nuts. It was fucking wild because she was starting shit with, like, random people. And that shit, like, that type of garbage, that's who I am deep down inside. So I'm not meant to be famous. I'm not meant to be fucking, you know, anything. I recently an Uber driver. If I'm taking an Uber, 50-50 shot, I'm going to get angry because they're going to make a wrong turn or something. And I'm already running late. If I'm in an Uber, it's because I'm running late. Right. I don't have time to get on a subway.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm already on edge, right? And I can get very, you know, aggressive and kind of shitty with Uber drivers. I've been known, okay? And I recently, just at the end of my Uber drive, some guy, and I didn't say anything shitty to him, but at the end, he was like, are you Luis J. Gomez? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm just a big fan. And then I think about that. It's like, dude, at this point, like, I can't even be particularly shitty and, like, petty to people because somebody's going to fucking know who I am and it's going to make me look really bad.
And I'll tell you this. That guy had the balls to ask you if it was you. There's a lot of Uber drivers who never say anything, but they know it's you.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. They and you use your real name, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my Uber name is my real name, so no one knows it's Cypher Sounds, but they'll ask sometimes.
I'm going to start going by Cypher Sounds.
Wait, one guy decided to play his Christian hip hop for me.
Oh no, without telling you that he knew it was you?
Yeah.
He just was like, oh, look at this. This is a song that I happen to write.
I saw him in the rearview mirror recognize my voice. I saw him recognize my voice, and then he pops in his CD and starts playing his Christian hip hop.
That's hilarious.
Because I'm very famous in New York, Zach. I don't know if you're understanding.
I know, I get it, man.
It seems like you don't want to God, understand.
I get it.
All right. I yeah. It is a it's a hard thing to be the garbage person that I am. Mm. You know, that's the thing. Like, most other people play a different game, you know, and I have to fight. I have to fight. This is where I'm at in my career. It's because I have to fight the instinct to be a piece of shit.
But your fan base likes your piece of shitness.
They like that I'm real about it. They like the fact that most people wouldn't have the conversation and talk about, you know, just the fact that they have an instinct to steal cash off of your counter.
Right. So who has a problem with how you are? The Hollywood? The industry? You built your own industry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not...
You don't care about your fans? Is that what it is? No, they're not good enough?
The fans are the best.
Is that what you're saying?
They fucking know who I am. Don't you ever disrespect
them. Are you sure? I'm not disrespecting. I'm wondering if you're disrespecting them.
Oh, wait. Wrong sound effect. Sorry. Hold on.
Are you like...
You don't try to cause a rift between me and the fan base, Cypher. Not
I feel
on this
like
show.
I feel like you're like the Puerto Rican Donald Trump, and you're just fooling your fan base.
Oh, yeah. They're all... Look, Shannon, turn the mics down for a second. They're fools.
Bunch
they're a bunch of fucking idiots.
I like your fans, yo. Anytime I've done anything around any of you guys, yeah. I get the most love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just love comedy. And then I think that they love... They also... it's weird to say... But I think that our fan base appreciates diversity in a different way, yes. In a much more real way.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like they go like, oh, shit. It's almost like they feel like they're judged preemptively by people that sort of aren't on this in of like dirty edgelord comedy, yeah. Right? So it's like there's a very specific genre and it's a niche and it's yeah. Not many people are doing this type of comedy anymore. But then when you get somebody, we'll just say even taking you out of it, like Michael Che or whoever else that comes in and yeah. Is like, and they get it and they go, oh shit, they're not racist. They're being funny. They're yeah. Trying to be edgy and they're trying to go over the line.
Yeah.
Our fan base goes, oh fuck, they go that much. They like females, like when females come in and they get it, when they come on our show, like Kim was just on, Jessica Kirsten was just on, our fan base fucking love them.
Yeah.
But when if a chick comes in and she's like, oh, you guys are fucking sexist, yeah. You're idiots, then they will fucking, you
they'll
know,
turn.
Yeah, hard.
But they turn fast.
Very fast. Yeah. Yes.
But fuck, what was I going to say? I did your show. Damn it, I had a good point. Oh, when I was in, I went to, I'm from the Bronx originally, but in 10th grade, I moved to Long Island, like a white town in Long Island. And I was very out of place.
Good for you.
And the kid, it wasn't my choice, it was my mom. And the kids I got along with the most were the metalheads. Yeah. Like, they didn't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck.
They don't care. Like, they were like, oh, this guy's, because they liked metal, but they also liked NWA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they were just like, the most accepting. Like, they weren't like, I mean, I'm sure they were racist, but also, so what? They didn't care.
Well, exactly. That's almost like, so that's an interesting point as well. We kind of touched on it a little before, but it's like, okay, so let's say they were bigoted, right? Let's say they come from a white town. They're, you know, yeah. You're like, I know this guy's dad hates it when I'm over. I can get a vibe from, because I would get that a lot, right? Yeah. So it's not that the kids were so bigoted. And if you're raised in a bigoted household.
Didn't want you in the pool.
Yeah, it was like that. Like the parents, you would have like almost like an attitude, like they're better than me. There was I grew up in a very white trash neighborhood.
Yeah,
so it was like not only white people, but it was really ignorant white people.
Yeah,
sort of suburban nice white people. They keep it hidden. Trashy ass white people. It's like they don't give a fuck. Get that Puerto Rican out of my face, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think that it's sort of like if that's not painting their. If that's not painting their decisions, if it's just thoughts,
yeah.
Right? And the decisions they're making are still like, hey, you know what? I don't give a fuck about this guy's color of his skin. You yeah. Know, if you put him into a lie detector test and you go like, do you think that he's more likely to steal? Then you go, fuck, you got me, right?
Yeah.
I don't really care. Like, if he's putting his bigotry aside,
right?
I actually appreciate that more in a weird way.
I agree.
So I'm going like, yeah, that guy, you know, like, you know, even though he fucking may feel a certain way or was raised to feel a certain way, he gets it. He's moving along 100%. With the times.
100%. And like, I've been in white kids' houses when I was younger, like in high school, and they'd be like, hey, does your friend Lewis want rice and beans for dinner? And I'm like, no, just give me some ambrosia salad. You know, like,
I would love some rice and beans.
You have it?
Would you like random pieces of chicken and pork? Like just the elbow? Why is it Hispanic people? They'll like cut off like the elbow of a pig, and they're like, well, that's what you're eating. You're eating pig elbow today. It's crazy.
It's fine.
It's a world of. That's almost like there's this intangible, unrealistic expectation to change the way that people think, as opposed to appreciating the way people act.
Yeah,
you know, and you know that's. I don't hold anybody's political or social views against them ever. I don't give a fuck if you're voting for Trump, Biden, something. You're not voting. I don't give a fuck if you are a secret fucking commie spy. If we could just smoke a blunt and chill and fucking laugh about some shit, I don't care. I really don't.
I went into a restaurant once on the road, like in between gigs. Like I'm talking about truck stop, fucking random, disgusting little restaurant. And I walked in, me and my friend, and definitely felt the eyes. You know what I mean? And then this guy was like, straight out of a movie, like, hey, what you doing here, boys? You know what I'm saying? I was like, we're just going to grab a quick meal, head on out.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fuck your daughter.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to steal anything from you. I was like, bro, we're just getting a quick meal. Like, do you not? I was like, I know where I'm at.
Right.
I know you don't want me here. I'm going to use the bathroom, get some food and leave. Yeah. And he was like, we had like a conversation after that.
Right.
Like, oh, I didn't mean it like that, but sometimes we have some trouble. I said, no, I get it.
Right.
I get it. I'm not here to fucking.
And a lot of times they're not wrong. What do you want to say? Fucking. Are you Puerto Rican?
Yeah, Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
A little bit of Irish.
Yeah, same thing. We got a similar, similar thing. Maybe we are. Maybe I do hate you.
Yeah, I think you look in them, you see a mirror.
There can only be one. Dougie,
it's like a funhouse mirror for success.
I used to be successful,
but it's like
I used to have money, man. It was fun.
Money is the best.
It's so fun. You're on the upswing. I want a downswing.
Oh yeah, we're probably meeting right around in the middle right now. Ah shit. But yeah, I don't know. I was also raised by like a lot of racist white people.
Yeah.
So the my Uncle Joe. I remember him just at one point saying about Janet Jackson, he was like, oh, she's really good looking for a nigger. Like, I'm talking about like that. Like, not even like that is real racism.
Yeah.
That's not even like when somebody calls somebody the N-word in a moment of anger.
Yeah.
That also cannot be real racism.
I agree.
That can be.
It's a tool. It's a weapon they're using that moment to hurt you.
To hurt you.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the times it can be a really racist person. I think for it to come out easy like that, I think it's really, but I mean, look, anybody who knows, if you're in a car and you got your window rolled up and a Chinese guy cuts you off, you're going to say some racist shit. Let's get real, okay? And you're not racist, I don't think. I think it's just at a moment, you blurt it out and you fucking say whatever the fuck is going on.
Or you're trying to make somebody giggle.
Yeah, or you're trying to make your friend laugh. Be like, come on, use your blinker, pan face. But I think that, you know, but in a moment of anger, somebody, they spit out crazy shit. I don't think about what I'm going to say when I'm angry, when I'm really, really angry. And I say stupid shit when I'm really angry. Like, my mouth just fucking, you know, spits stupid shit out. But I think it can be indicative of racism, but it also can just be indicative of somebody who's ignorant, somebody who doesn't have anything to lose. It doesn't fucking really matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
When somebody says it like that, like my Uncle Joe, the way he said it, that was like, he was complimenting a black person.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That is like, wow, that is racism.
That was a five-star review from Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
Uncle Joe didn't, you know, fuck, I'll give Uncle Joe Real Ass Dude of the Week because he didn't give a fuck. He was talking to a brown kid.
He's a real ass dude.
He is.
He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's real. He's a real ass dude.
God rest Uncle Joe's soul.
He's gone?
Oh, he's gone. He's
did
dead.
Did he get?
He got killed by black people.
That's what I thought.
He was murdered. He was murdered by a gang of black people. It was pretty brutal. He should have kept his mouth shut.
He was killed by Janet Jackson.
Yeah, dude. It wasn't good. But I mean, look, he was an old man. Like he was probably 75 or 80 at that time. This is 20 years ago. No, more. 20 years ago, I was fucking 19. This is 30 years ago.
Yeah. My grandmother, my white grandmother, she was white, Irish white from the Bronx, always referred to my friends as the colored boy. Yeah. Oh, as a colored boy. Being absolutely hospitable. Yeah. Oh, is the colored boy coming over for dinner?
Yeah.
Like,
but that was almost like a term back then that wasn't actually racist.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They assigned it the racism later on after the fact.
There's like retroactively racist.
Yeah, it's almost like the way I say faggot or retard. I'm like, no, you can't use faggot against me. I don't use faggot in a hateful way against gay people.
Grandfathered in on faggot.
Yeah, exactly. I call faggots when they're being faggots.
I miss it.
Yeah, I just say it so.
You still do it.
Faggot or retard?
I see. Here's the difference between you and me. I want to be in the game. I want to play the Hollywood. Okay, I don't think
it's not that I don't want to. I did want to before it became a thing where being canceled for dumb jokes was a regular occurrence.
Yeah,
I wanted to play that game, and then it's not that I don't want to. I know the game I'm playing. I know the cards that are I have right now.
Yeah.
That's not a game that I can play anymore.
No, you're done.
So who cares?
You're out.
So now I can just say faggot and retard. I have a freedom because if somebody ever says, oh, he said faggot and retard, I go, no, you're a fucking faggot retard. Let me show you 100 more times where I said faggot and retard.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
But this is why I like you, because you have taken yourself out of the race that I'm in.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? There only can be but so many Latinos in the game.
Yeah.
So you are like Louis, he's out. He took himself out.
I'm not, but it's I was also never really in that game because I had a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
So even little things like doing diversity showcases or Latino shows.
Oh, I hate that.
Wouldn't do it.
I never would do it.
I got asked to do a float in the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I was going to almost do it as a joke 2 years ago because they asked me and I was like, that'd be hilarious.
Wait, what do you mean?
There was in the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Recently?
Yeah, like 2-3 years ago.
For what? As like Louis J. Gomez,
as a Latino comedian.
Why wouldn't
they
you
were
do
having
that?
A float because I'm not telling my fucking crazy jokes to a bunch of Puerto Ricans that are shaking their ass around a float. They're not going to like it.
Plus, isn't that different? Like,
you should have.
How
did
short
that.
Of a joke do you have to tell for a parade? Or are people going to follow you?
Wait, they wanted you to do stand up?
They wanted me to do stand up. Oh, no, they don't want me to like sit there with a crown on and be like,
stand up while this shit is moving?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't good. You should have did that just for the talk.
It would have been funny.
They asked me to DJ Donald Trump's inauguration.
No. When?
When he won.
The inauguration, right.
Like,
shut up, Zach. I'm very smart. Shannon, edit that. Make me smart. Let's make it happen.
And I said, absolutely, I'll do that shit. Why? The story alone is going to be crazy.
Incredible.
But they vetted me, so it didn't work out.
They're like, oh, wait a minute. He is brown. Never mind.
No, I think the thing that stopped them was my old co-host on the radio, Peter Rosenberg. His father was big. Like, his father worked for Clinton and was all in the Obama administration. Mm. And I think they associated me with that.
Because
nobody, a lot of DJs didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And they were like, I would never do. I'm like, please, I'll do it for free.
Yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Please.
Well, you remember the one guy recently, there was the video of it was like an army band.
Yeah.
And like this band was like, they're not even a bad band. It's just like the optics was so bad. He's like doing like Uptown Funk, I guess, the guy. And it's just this kind of nerdy white guy that like, dude, and they fucking, dude, people trash this guy. They like tortured this guy to the point where like his sister came on like the social media and she's like, you got to understand, Curtis is a good guy. He doesn't even support Trump. It was just an opportunity.
Wait, what did he do?
He just sang Uptown Funk. And it was just
at a Trump thing?
At a Trump rally. And it was like,
a gig is a gig.
Yeah, I know. And they just tortured this fucking guy to the point where he probably wanted to kill himself because he had never been. Yeah, it's this guy.
What is this event?
It's just some 4th of July
celebration. Salute to America.
It's a gig, yo. You absolutely take the gig.
It was like, every news station, every blog, Twitter.
The guy next to him is brown. Who's that guy?
Yeah, he's a race traitor. He was actually.
Was he Filipino or something?
He was burnt alive by liberals. They killed a black person because he supported Trump. It was fucking crazy. the priorities that these people have. But hey, that's the thing. What do you do? I mean, I just grew up at a different time as well. I mean, you're probably close to my age. How old are you?
44.
Okay, you're a little older, actually. Yeah. I'm 38 years old.
Wow, he didn't have to. Did you see the way he threw that bus on me?
Well, you know, there can only be one. So, I just grew up where, you know, and I grew up where the first president that I really remembered was George H.W. Bush. Yeah. That was the first president that I had a real memory
of. Knew what a president was.
Yeah. I was like, you know, elementary school, like really, really young. But I just grew up at a time where it's like you would call him Mr. President.
Right.
You would fucking, you know, if you were invited to the White House, if your sports team was invited to the White House, you know, you would go because you were invited to the White House and the, your politics or anything. Like now it's like the NFL champions were invited to the White House. Two of them went. The rest of them said, fuck you, Mr. President. Yeah. And they tried to fuck his wife. And you're like, okay, well, that's it's just sort of a different. I think there's a you have to hold yourself with a level of integrity. And don't get me wrong. I think the reason that people don't like Trump, or the reason I specifically don't like Trump, is because he doesn't hold himself with that level of integrity.
Yes.
So everybody else. So when he's out there trolling people, and when you hear the term like acting presidential, you're like, well, dude, if you're doing that, how do you think we're going to act? Yeah. We don't hold ourselves with any sort of level of integrity anymore. And the leader. And I've always compared it to like having a restaurant. If you're the manager of that restaurant, acts like a fucking idiot, all the employees, all the patrons,
it's everyone. It's a culture.
It's a culture, exactly. And I think that that is a problem. And I don't really give a fuck about anybody's politics, but I would like to get to back to a place where, as an American, we can fucking walk with our heads held high and go like, oh, no, I'm proud to be an American. Yeah. I'm proud to fucking, you know, my to be neighbors with my neighbor, whoever they fucking vote for. I don't really give a shit. You know what I'm saying? It used to be us versus them instead of us versus us. That is a crazy concept right now.
Yeah.
I want to get there. Yeah. So, and maybe it's unfair to say for Trump, but I do say that he does sort of fucking, he trolls the country and he does it. So it's like, what do you expect? How do you expect people to act?
Yeah. He's doing, yeah, it's all right there. Here's the thing about Trump that I'm worried about. Let's say he loses. He still has Twitter. He still has followers. Like, he can still do whatever. Maybe he doesn't know the codes.
A leader in his own, yeah.
He doesn't, he's like you. His fan base is not going to go away.
He is a real ass, you're right.
When whoever becomes president, like his fan base is like they love Trump.
Yeah.
It's not even him being president. It helps, but now they love him.
Maybe. I think the only reason is cuz I feel like people legitimately loved Obama. Like legitimately. It wasn't based off of like
Trump fans don't like Obama.
No. I'm saying people that liked Obama loved Obama, like as a person and as a figure. Whereas I think it's like the idea of Trump and the ideology behind Trump is sort of what people get behind. But people sort of move on, right? So
how it normally is. I think. Yeah. I think Trump turned that a little. I think people voted for Trump who probably never voted before ever.
I have family members that are currently going to vote for Trump.
And they never voted.
Would consider themselves liberal. Shannon's shaking her head yes as well right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I don't pay attention to politics. I don't know. I'm not voting. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, I will likely never vote again in my life.
What?
You son of a bitch.
How dare you?
But I have family members who have said, like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. You know? And I'm like, really? And they're like, yep. Yeah, and I'm like, why? It's like I just don't know. Like the left has become increasingly annoying.
Yeah.
They're the ideal world for people that are on the left, you know, it's moving away from sort of what I consider to be the American dream, which is like, you know, fuck, you can come from nothing and have everything at one point.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
it's true. And other way too. And I know nothing about politics. I also have never voted, so what the fuck do I know? But I think that gives me actual perspective. I think what's her name? Kamala,
the Uganda giant. Yes.
No disrespect. I think if there was some white people on the fence about Trump, don't like some of the stuff he's doing, want America to be like good again in their eyes, but they maybe voted for him last time, and then Biden picked her. And they're like, oh, I can't vote for a black woman.
Yeah.
I got to stick with Trump. I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a sect of people like that. And then I think there are people that are in the actual fucking know who know that all of these people are criminals and that whoever we're voting for, it doesn't really matter.
That's me.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't really matter. And honestly, you can live your fucking life. Trump, Obama, I've had more progress in my life and my career since Trump has been in office. Now, I don't attribute that to Trump.
Right.
What I'm letting you know, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Who fucking cares?
When he became president and everybody was shook the next day, I was like, I'm going to go do what I was going to do
today. It actually makes me, I'm like, good, be shook. I'm going to keep moving forward while you're all sitting there shaking going, what are we doing? It was the same thing with the pandemic and not to down. And I know people did lose family members and it's become a, you know, I'm, you know, you got to watch your words fucking carefully with this pandemic. But some people said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm lost. I'm going to let my business shut down. I'm going to, you know, do this. I'm going to fucking, you know, wait for the government to hand me a check. And oh my God, I hope this all ends one day.
And as you like to say, some people pivoted.
Some people pivoted. Some people adapted. Some people said, there's an opportunity with everybody else lying down with their arms in the air going, please somebody help me.
Yeah.
To pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
And to keep on moving forward. And yeah, look, I lost a lot of money, okay? Yeah. But I also made a lot of headway and gained a lot of money in other areas because I made that adaptation.
Could you teach me that?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Could we talk at our Puerto Rican... I never seen you at the Puerto Rican meeting.
No.
Meet me there.
I will.
Can you teach me how to make the money outside of what I was doing? Because I'm broke. You know what I'm saying, Zach?
Zach. Yes,
100%.
Okay. He's very famous in New York.
And I've heard you're very famous in New York.
That's correct. That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just don't... I make sure I don't have one revenue stream. I make sure that every revenue stream that I have multiple revenue streams at all times, where if one goes away, then I could focus a little more energy into the other.
Yeah.
You know, it's as simple as that, you know, and then it becomes after a while, well, if I'm involved with a project, is it financially viable and worth it as well? And in the beginning, it was all like, oh, is that just, you know, fun or is that exciting for me creatively? And it was, you know, in the beginning of your comedy career, it's like it's a web series or a podcast and you're going out for auditions and you're doing stand up spots for almost no money. You're doing and it's everything you're doing, all of these little projects and all these little avenues. It's just sort of like, oh. Is it something that I want to do? Is it fun? Maybe you got a day job waiting tables or whatever, or in your case, being a world famous DJ.
Yeah.
But eventually it becomes, well, now I don't have time to do a project just because it's creatively exciting or fun. Correct. Now it has to be that, and it has to be financially viable because my time is worth a certain amount of money. Every minute that I'm telling you, if you're everybody's time is worth a certain amount of money, and you can quantify it. If you sat down with like some sort of like financial expert or some mathematician, they can sit down and tell you your time is worth this much per hour in your life based off of your productivity, what you have, what you do. This is how much it's worth. And my time is more valuable than it was a year ago, and it will continue to grow. And that right there, that quantification of how valuable my time is, it's sort of just it's shifting the focus, and instead of it being like, well, how am I going to make money? It becomes, well, what am I going to spend my time doing? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a major reason why I've been able to sort of, you know, have a little bit of success in other areas. All right, really quick, let's thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is Cushy Dreams, cushydreams.com. If you guys don't know, it is CBD-infused cannabis. It does not get you high. There's no THC. This is not for somebody who's looking to get stoned, but it's looking for the person who still wants to maybe kill some of their anxiety, physical pain, whatever the benefits are that you can derive from CBD. Cushy Dreams is a great way to consume it. I'm going to tell you right now, when I take CBD drops or gummies for my anxiety, it is a slow burn. It takes me probably, I don't know, an hour before I even notice anything different. I got to take them as soon as I get up right away. And then by the time I leave my house, the anxiety is not there. I always have anxiety. With Cushy Dreams, I take a bong hit of Cushy Dreams and immediately it's lifted. It reminds me of when I used to smoke cigarettes. I don't know if that's even a good comparison, but it sort of reminds me of that. When I smoke cigarettes, I would just take a drag from a cigarette and the fucking anxiety is lifted from me immediately.
It's not necessarily what you're doing. It's the ritual. I know doing this thing makes me feel better.
It makes there's no other way to say it. And everyone who I've recommended Cushy Dreams to feels the exact same way about it. Dave Smith, who stopped smoking weed but still loves smoking and still loves the benefits of sort of shaking the anxiety, shaking those fucking jitters that everybody has in their lives. He smokes Cushy Dreams. It really is great for inflammation. I injured my foot recently, so I like to smoke it and just it gets you. The idea with CBD is it gets your body back into homeostasis, which it means it essentially gets your body to its optimal performance, right? So everything is back in line and everything. So that's why it heals so many different things. It's a weird thing. But when they talk about medical marijuana and the benefits of it, that's really what they're talking about. Right now, we're going to give you a pretty awesome discount. If you go to cushydreams.com, that's cushy with a K, K-U-S-H-Y, dreams.com. And when you check out, use the promo code RAP, you're going to save 15% off your entire order. Once again, that is cushydreams.com. Use the promo code RAP and grab some incredible Cushy Dreams CBD flower. All right, where were we?
That makes 100%. I understood 90% of those words.
Good.
Yeah, I got 90%, 92.
All right, let's talk about, we got a little bit of time left here.
Let's go.
10, 15 minutes left on the show. Make sure you're following Cypher Sounds Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you. Cypher
Sounds, of course.
It's $8 a month to follow me on Instagram.
There we go. So this is awful. What is this? Two women are charged with a hate crime for stealing a MAGA hat from a terrified 7-year-old boy and throwing it at a wall outside of the DNC. Is there a video of this?
Yes.
Oh, no. I can't see people fucking attacking a child.
I feel like you should watch it because it's different from how the headline describes it.
So how does the headline describe it?
So it says like terrified little boy and whatever, but there's other things that happen in the video. Like the mother is kind of a shithead also, the mother of the kid.
If you're bringing your 7-year-old kid and putting a MAGA hat on him, yes, to a fucking rally, you're just like, why are you projecting that? I have to be consistent here. I say the same thing about people on the left, okay? Let your fucking kid be a kid. Let your 7-year-old be a fucking 7-year-old. They don't need to be at political rallies. They don't need to be. They don't know. It's stupid. When I see a kid, I told the story recently. My son said Trump was stupid because his mom and her boyfriend are super fucking liberals. And I stopped him and I was like, well, James, no, I wouldn't call him stupid. I was like, he knows a lot. He became president, right? I was like, yeah, you know, the reality is like, you don't know what you're talking about. And it came off as stupid for my kid to be saying things like that.
Really? Well, you're 7.
Yes, exactly. What the fuck do you know? So you bring your kid to a political rally, you put a Make America Great hat on him. You are using him as a political prop. You're using him for an opportunity to take a picture.
I think I don't care anything about sports. To me, it's the same thing as when you put your team's jersey on your kid and you make them a Jet fan or whatever fan you are. You know what I'm saying? It's right. The same thing. Like you feel this way about Trump. You're putting up fuck. Don't do that to the kid.
Yeah, but you know what? Kids are supposed to like sports. That's the difference, right? So kids, in my opinion, you know.
But this is sport to some people. Politics is sport to some people.
It's not to a lot of others, though. You know, so the difference, the real differentiator there for me is the fact that you got like, you know, and it's also like a home turf thing. Like, it's where you're from. I understand why dads do it. I wouldn't do it. You know, I'm not going to just make my kid like the things that I like. I want him to develop a unique personality and have his own perspective. But, you know, it is like, I just think it's a little bit, I think it's unfair to do to a kid because it's not. Like people that play baseball, they're playing. They're playing. It's a game.
Yes.
You know?
I see, yes.
And there's a way to sort of look at like this as a sport or a game or, you know, my team versus your team. But there are also crazy fucking people, as we're about to see, that will go and grab a hat off of a 7-year-old child. And you should be protecting your child. If I wouldn't bring my kid anywhere near a political rally, a protest, any of this stuff, because it takes one person throwing a fucking brick or pulling out a gun.
Especially now. Like,
do you have kids?
So, yeah.
How many kids you got?
We've already said I was Puerto Rican, right? I got 2 kids.
Yeah, how old are they?
5 and 2, young.
Oh, good for
I started
you.
Late.
I got a 7-year-old, yeah. And it's our job as a parent to protect these kids, and it's our job to let them experience the world. I don't think it's our job to shape their social and political beliefs when they're this young. I think
it's too young.
At this point, it should be like, well, who's your favorite superhero?
Yeah.
That's as far as it should go. And if they say Superman, they're probably a Trump supporter. Batman, they're a little bit into Antifa. What are you going to do? It really is. Really, Superman versus Batman is just fucking the right versus the left.
I don't know. It might be the other way around.
You think
Superman's an illegal alien? Batman is a rich guy.
That is true.
No, well, there's so layers. You're saying Superman is overcompensating, like trying to be super American?
Yeah.
He's like the Nigerian guy on 90 Day Fiancé that wears like a Trump shirt.
Superman is a fucking, is a Puerto Rican draped in American flag. Yeah.
Batman's just a rich dickhead who fucking beats up mentally ill people.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
Faggot thinks he's a scarecrow. Pow.
Yeah.
I never looked at it like that. He's a fucking 1%er. He's a billionaire that beats up mentally ill people.
Dude, if all he needs to do is reappropriate the wealth of all his companies to make programs for the poor people of Gotham, and he wouldn't have to be Batman.
That is true.
If he just started after school programs, addiction counseling.
Pull up this video.
He doesn't need to beat up clowns.
Of the two Trump supporters, or the two people pulling off the hat. Let's see.
Get away from me. Get the f*** out. Get it, Liam. Get it.
Touch my hat.
Take your
hat. Nice body.
Sick bitch.
Get your hat back, baby. Look at what you just did to my son. Get your hat back, baby. Get your hat back, baby.
What do you mean, get your hat back? Did they have the hat?
Yes. Why would she tell the kid to get your hat back from these crazy bitches?
Give me back my hat. 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 Give me back my hat.
I'm telling you right now.
You're going to steal my property?
I'll pull
your car and get your license plate.
I'm walking. I live in town.
You want me to call 911?
Okay, well, he shouldn't be crying.
Taylor, these people right here are taking your hat.
But whose hat is it? Is it the 7-year old's hat?
It's the mother's hat that the kid was wearing.
But who's Taylor? They said they took your hat.
The boy.
What is she?
She's rowling up.
Everyone here.
Everyone sucks.
And she's filming it. She wants a viral video.
Yeah, everybody's 100% wrong.
Yeah, everyone sucks. I mean, look, dude, let me tell you something.
Call 911.
If you're, I'll make this very clear.
Yeah, if your queer little kid is crying, call 911. That lady took my hat.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. But if you take something from my kid, I don't care if you're a fucking woman, man, Chinese person, fucking the president of the United States, a person in a wheelchair, I'm going to drop kick you in your fucking nose. I'm going to come at you with fucking extreme violence if you take something from my fucking kid. Let me explain to you very, very clearly, okay? I don't give a shit.
Go ahead.
Very, very fucking clearly.
Okay, I'm listening.
I will take your fucking head off if you touch my kid's fucking shit. Now, the responsibility in that moment becomes on the mom to fucking, if you're not willing to go and fucking fight for your kid and fucking take his property back, to tell your kid to go and do it, you're putting your kid in a fucking weird, dangerous position. The mom is actually worse here. If you're kind of judging who the fucking worst people here are, that chick sucks. They're fucking idiots. But what are they really doing? They're taking a hat? They're taking a hat. Who fucking cares? You know what I'm saying? It sort of becomes an opportunity for you to say, all right, well, you walk away. Say, yeah, they're terrible. You also teach your kid a lesson there. Like, yeah, they're bad people. They're taking a hat because they don't agree with the message. They shouldn't take property. But to put your kid in that situation where he's even there to begin with, wearing a Make America Great hat again, it just
and
sort of
she's double downing it by
everything
filming
sucks.
It.
Yeah, everything sucks. She's filming it, but she's trying to get him to fucking get into a physical altercation
Taylor,
with these
she's
women.
Taking your hat. That's the crazy part. Like,
if you even want your kid in a viral video like that, or you want your kid displayed online like that, there's something.
It sucks. They all suck. But I will say, in the moment, I couldn't imagine not double clotheslining those chicks, just fucking like literally just bouncing off the rope, taking both their heads off, and fucking saying, give me my fucking hat back.
But now, okay, I know I'm not a skanker or whatever your people are called.
Nazis.
You clothesline these two chicks.
Yeah.
You then go to jail. That doesn't affect your decision making, like
it is. And look, I'm speaking provocatively. I probably wouldn't clothesline a bitch for taking my kid's hat. But I will say right now, the anger that I felt with this little kid, like having a thing taken from him by an adult, it does make me, you know, like fuck. No, look, I wouldn't.
You snatching it back?
I'd probably snatch it back. I think I'd snatch it back. I think I wouldn't be able to stop myself, even though I'm talking all this shit.
You'd snatch it back and call the other girl fat.
Oh, I'd be like, listen, you fat fucking cunt.
I know you. You would have called that girl fat before they took the hat.
I'll get my sister to beat her up.
That's why she took the hat. He called me fat.
It's not a sandwich, pig.
I get so nervous. I don't want to not be in my kid's life.
Yeah.
Where like because I have a switch. It's so funny. One time a cab cut me off, and I'm talking about it was horrible the way he cut me off, and I jumped out of the car and went to go kill somebody.
Yeah.
But I have a switch. I usually could take so much disrespect because I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
But this one, once it crosses the line, visit, you know what I mean? I ran out and fucking slamming on the window and telling this guy to get out. I go to grab his door handle and I see two old white people in the back of the cab.
Oh, no.
And I grab the door handle and they both go,
yeah.
So that woke me up. I was like, oh.
I'm a monster right now.
Sight of sounds? He's very, very familiar.
Yeah, they knew me. They were from, I think, Wichita. And then I would go back to my car, and I'm furious. This happened a year and a half ago. My daughter the other day, she's 5. She goes, remember we saw your friend in that yellow car and you went to get out to say hi to him?
That's so funny, dude. I mean, we're the same guy, by the way, dude. We're the same fucking guy.
But I think your line is probably... You're
a little crazier, a little faster.
You're faster.
I'm a little crazier, a little faster, but we are very similar. Like, I remember one time, remember I told the story about how my...
Remember when we saw your friend faggot and you threw coffee at him?
We saw your friend faggot and you threw coffee at him. Doggy, one time I went to go pick up my son from school and I took an Uber or a cab there. It was a yellow cab. And I was trying to pay with Apple Pay and the Apple Pay wouldn't work. It wasn't my fault the Apple Pay wouldn't work. And he was like, oh, do you have cash or card? I was like, no. And he wouldn't let me go. And we were on the corner of my son's school and his school's like halfway down the block. And I was like, I don't know what you want to tell you. I was like, your thing doesn't work. It ain't happening. Yeah. I was like, fucking, you know, what are you going to do? So then he starts calling the cops on me. And I'm walking away, and I'm like, I was like, get the fuck away from me. I was like, it's your fault. This is not my fault.
Yeah.
Okay? Fuck you. Yeah. He's like, well, you're calling the cops.
He was walking after you?
Yeah. And I'm on my son's block of his school. So now I'm walking toward his school and trying to like walk away. And he's like chasing me. So then I start, I go back and I'm like, and I got my fist clenched.
And
yeah.
So now he's chasing him
so
back.
So now
to
I start
cab.
Chasing him back to his cab. And he's
yeah, it
running.
Like, it was like Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, dude. I'm chasing him back to his cab. And he's like, oh, he's trying to. And I'm like, ugh. And people are looking at me and like, this is my son's school. Like, yeah. So I know there's parents. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just a monster. Like, I can't control myself. And then I went and got my son from the school. And I remember we're walking down the block and we're on the other side. And I was like, all right, well, this guy's fucking gone now, right? Because he didn't know where the school was.
James, you have cash? I want to take a cab.
So as soon as we turn the corner, I see him on the next corner. We had walked up the other avenue. He'd come around.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it was, just we randomly happened to be. Now I'm with my son. I'm like, fuck. So I'm like, James, come on. Come on. I got to get into this cab right now. So we literally run and go to get into another yellow
cab.
And he's like, why? I was like, oh, some guy tried to steal my cab. I lied to him and told him that a guy tried to steal my cab. And I was telling the fucking driver, I was like, go, go, go. Because we had to get through the light. It was fucking wild.
Yeah.
The whole thing was wild. But you don't want to be a savage in front of your kid.
Yeah.
And this is why we're good people. Because
you
are a savage, and we this is the theme on today's show, and we'll wrap with this thought, which is true. The same way that I will give the person who grew up with a bigoted upbringing credit for not letting that color the decisions that they make in their life, I have to give you credit, and I give myself credit for, at the very least, even though we are those savages, and we do have those moments where we lose control, and it truly is losing control. I've been to therapy for years for it. Okay, like I have real anger issues. We still know it's wrong. We still have the wherewithal to lie to our kids and not go, yeah, that motherfucker, you know. And that's, my mom was like, she would get into fights all the time, like all the time as a kid. Like I was watching my mom get beat up by fucking old ladies. It was nuts. And she, you know, just getting into like crazy like altercations regularly. And whereas that happens to me regularly in my life, I keep my kid protected from it and shielded from it.
Yeah, good.
Because
good.
He deserves a white upbringing.
A fair shot.
And that's all I'll say.
Just, I love a white upbringing.
That's all I want to give my kid is a nice white upbringing.
And we know what that means.
You know, we all know what
but
it
means. Therapy, this is what people are so confused about therapy. Therapy doesn't fix your problems. It helps you identify them and gives you tools to deal with them. I still might freak out. I just know how to take the wrench out and bring it down.
And you recognize in the moment that you're like, oh shit, this is a pattern.
Yes.
You keep yourself a little more accountable. You go like,
a little accountable.
I know, like, I've talked about this. I know this moment and you recognize it. And honestly, sometimes that's enough to just, you know, stop yourself.
Defuse
and to pull yourself back. You know, and,
and sometimes it's not.
But the other, can I tell you the problem with people? Because people are like, oh, Lewis is a fucking savage animal, right? And it's like, but we're having this conversation. It's very honest. So I think a lot of people, especially with this sort of social media revolution, they paint themselves as better than they are, right? And every time, you're not hearing about it when everyone's freaking out. Like, everyone has their moments where they fucking act stupid. For me, I bring it to the show, number one, because it's funny most of the time. It's like if I freak out on a cab driver or somebody at a McDonald's or whatever. But number two, because I'm not afraid to, you know, I'm not afraid to put out that negative side of me. And have a conversation about it. And I think a lot of other people, when they're freaking out or they're wrong or they make a mistake, they don't want to just put that out there. They don't want to have that conversation. And it's sort of a very dishonest.
Yeah.
Just sort of we walk around naturally inclined to be dishonest, much more so today than we did 20 years ago before we had social media and before we were putting ourselves out there like that.
Yeah.
So just
you have an outlet, though.
Yeah, that is true.
You are ahead of the game. Like, some, my boy was asking me, he's, I'm so stressed out. I'm this, I'm that. Like, how do you deal with it? I was like, I do stand up, bro.
Yeah,
like,
it helps.
I got to go on stage and talk all my shit out every night. So, outlet helps. So, you know, I don't know. Punch a cab driver.
That's it. That's the theme of the episode is punch a cab driver. All right, let's wrap this one up. Listen to me. You're the fucking man, Sypha.
I really
appreciate you coming on the show. That was a great conversation. Please make sure you guys follow him on everything. And we'll be back on Friday with another great episode.
Oh, you don't do it every day?
The Real Ass Podcast. No, 3 days a week.
Wow. That's lazy.
That's all, folks.